kids' jokes for you. Because we're talking about the kingdom. So, what is the most frustrating thing for dragons when kings throw them a birthday party? Blowing out the candles. Okay. When is the king like a piece of wood? Then he's a ruler, yeah. You know what? That could be a really dated joke because I don't think rulers today are made out of wood. They're probably more likely out of plastic. But anyway, who is strong enough to move a king's castle? A chess player. Ooh. Okay, here's the last one, the biggest groaner of them all. Who designed King Arthur's round table? Circumference. Oh, I know. That's a groaner. Okay. So we're continuing on looking at the kingdom of God. And the last time I spoke, we were using this scripture. This is part two. And so above all, constantly seek God's kingdom, his righteousness. Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. Jesus speaks this scripture just after he's done the Beatitudes. He's then talked to them, look at the birds of the air and the lilies of the field and how God provides for them. And he's talking about how important we are. And then he shares this scripture. And he's letting us know that Papa is good. God is good. He's a good provider. And he values each one of us. So above all, putting him in the front, in the center. Actually, a couple of weeks ago, Ralph shared that song, Jesus, be the center. You know, when we put God above everything, that means other things fall this way. How do you do that? Which comes first, my kids, my spouse? No, he's the center in everything. So out of that center, he radiates out into your life, to your relationships, to your job, to your friends, to whatever. Jesus, be the center of everything. And constantly seek God. You know, sometimes we get into a bit of a hit and miss with God. I love this story, and again, this is in no way something I'm suggesting anybody does, but Carol Arnott, she's John Arnott's wife from Toronto Blessing Church, or Airport Church in Toronto, where the Toronto Blessing was poured out. And she said she just took her phone and she put a timer on it so every 20 minutes it would go off. And in that, all it is just ding, and it would remind her to think of God. Just in that moment, just, oh yeah, God, you're right here. Oh yeah, Lord. And again, just, we were singing that this morning. You know, we want to experience your presence. It's not that his presence isn't with us, but we want to experience it. We don't want to, we want to connect with him. So we want to be constantly seeking God. God's kingdom and his righteousness. That's what we want to be seeking, his kingdom and his righteousness. We know Jesus is our righteousness. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But then we talked about the kingdom. And I quoted from Watchman Nee, what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the reigning of God and follows his existence, embracing eternity with no beginning and no end. So God and his kingdom are a part of, God is a part of the kingdom and the kingdom is a part of God. The kingdom doesn't exist apart from God. We also talked a bit about what the kingdom of heaven is. And again, Watchman Nee, his explanation of it is this. It's just, there's the whole body, like the kingdom, and there's a hand, which is distinctive to the body, but it isn't the whole kingdom. And so the kingdom of God is the whole kingdom, and the kingdom of heaven is a part of the kingdom of God. So now that we've gotten and caught up a little bit, I want to take us to these scriptures again. And I want us to hold on to this thought from Watchman Nee that the kingdom of God is the reigning of God and it follows his existence, embracing eternity with no beginning or end. So, there's that scripture. So above all, constantly seek God's kingdom and righteousness. That's our first scripture. Here's our next one. My prayer, this is Jesus praying. My prayer is not for them alone. He had just prayed for his disciples. I pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them will be one, Father, just like you're in me and I'm in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I gave them the glory that you gave me. They will be the ones that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought into complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved me, even as you have loved them. Okay, let's move on. One more scripture here. Now, this is when the Pharisee, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come in observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. You know, when we sang this morning, Holy Spirit, come and change the atmosphere. He doesn't come down from heaven to change the atmosphere. He rises up from within us. You carry the atmosphere of the kingdom of God, the atmosphere. And it's when we yield to that and release that, and I'm going to thank you, Lord. This morning, I was telling Chrysalis, in my glasses case, I always carry a little bottle of anointing oil, and I opened my glass case this morning to pull out my glasses, and that little bottle, which is made of glass, hit the floor and broke. And I was like, oh, shoot. Right? It didn't just hit the floor. It broke. And it's, you know, spilling out and picking it up and putting it away. And one of the things that I've been asking the Lord for the last little while is, show me the prophetic in the everyday. Which sounds crazy, but you know what? The kingdom of God is foolishness to the world. So we had talked about that, and we said, oh, that's a sign of something. But I just want you to know right now, the kingdom of God is in you. And the Lord is about to, well, if you're willing, break open you, that you're the anointing oil, that you're going to be a crackpot. Taking the kingdom to the world. And again, because the kingdom isn't someplace else, it is within you. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. We are a part of the kingdom of God. And I'm going to get you to turn to 1 Corinthians, if you have your Bibles. And we're going to go to chapter 2. And we're going to start in verse 6. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not wisdom of the age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before the beginning of time. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things of God prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed by his Holy Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For For who knows a person except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. Let me read that again. We have the Spirit of God so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has the mind, who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Wow. Wow. The Holy Spirit reveals to us what we've inherited. And I'm going to be honest, if we're not listening to the Spirit of God, we're listening to the spirit of this age. And I'll tell you what the spirit of this age wants us to believe. It wants you to believe that you're not powerful, that you're not full of the Holy Spirit, that God is sitting in judgment of you if you make wrong things. The reason you're not seeing prayer answered, blah, 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 blah. That is the spirit of the king of this world. When we stand and say things like, I'm standing on the word of God to see my finances met, the world goes, that's craziness. When we're standing on the word of God to see healing come into our lives and to our friends' lives, the world says, what are you doing? That's just stupid. And in fact, there will be brothers and sisters who aren't walking in the Spirit who will say the same thing. But the Spirit of God who is in you, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God is in you, and he has come to reveal to you what the Lord has freely given you. And we just read scriptures that talks where Jesus says, look it, the Father is in me, and I'm in the Father, and I pray that the Father and I be in you, and you be in us. There's no separation. Do you remember that? Let's see if this is the... Sorry. Do you remember the little illustration I did a while back? A glass of water. It's us, that new life that we have in God. And Jesus pours his life into us. And can you separate which is us and which is Jesus? No. We've become a part of the kingdom of God. We don't have to look up there and say, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is in us. And Jesus revealed that to us. And that's a revelation of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit has been given to all believers to understand that's who we are. But boy, brothers and sisters, have we been sitting on the sidelines? Jesus said, out of you will flow rivers of living water. Do you know how dry and thirsty it is out there? Because we listen to the enemy. Who says, then the spirit, if I can say, listen to the systems of this world that says the things of God are foolishness. When that little vial broke, the Lord spoke something. The anointing, the Holy Spirit that's in you and me is going to be poured out into the world around us. Now here's the question. Are you willing to be broken? Now, please don't get into that place where it's like you're on your knees all, you know, whatever. But a yieldness, are you willing to yield to that? Are you willing to yield to say, even though my thoughts go that as foolishness, but this is what the Word of God says. This is what the mind of Christ is. Have you ever thought about what does Jesus think about? You have the mind of Christ. You're allowed to ask. Hey, brother, what are you thinking about? Hey, Savior, what are you thinking about? What's your mind full of today? The kingdom of God is within us and is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the things, and I know we're all sick of hearing about COVID and vaccinations and all this, but I'm just going to share with you a little thing. So for me, I see that as believers, there's kind of three camps, if I can put it that way, with the idea of the vaccine. There's people over here that their idea is, we've been praying for the Lord to give us creative ideas, and a vaccine came, and let's get vaccinated. There it is. Praise God. And then there's the ones that I'm going to say are kind of in the middle, say, I don't know. Is it safe? Is it not safe? I don't know. I guess the Lord's word says, I can drink any poison and it won't affect me. You know? And then there's the ones over here who said, the Lord's word says, no plague will touch me. I don't need to take the vaccine. Who's right? And you know what our problem is we're trying to decide who's right. But what if I'm going to stand here and say, every one of them is right. Paul said this about people eating meat, you know, or having dietary, you know, not eating meat, sorry. There are people who won't eat certain things, he said. And there are other people who feel free to eat all things. And there was that battle. Who's right? And he says, go with what you have faith for. If you have faith for it, go with it. Don't sit in judgment of your brother if you think they have less faith because they're not believing like you do. And I share this morning with this idea. We have to know in our hearts how the Lord is leading us. And we're not all being led the same way. Okay? But we have to be okay with somebody else's choosing. And you don't need them to agree with you to follow what the Lord is directing, how he's directing you. And don't sit in judgment of them. You know what? Let's just let it be. Because if we get into that argument, you know what we're doing? We're getting involved in the system of the world, the way the enemy was. And what's happened? Like I said, there's three camps. There's division. But where is the blessing? In unity. In unity. So we need to lay down the things, I'm going to be honest, that don't matter. If I can put it that way, in the sense of it doesn't matter that you be in agreement with what I'm doing with this. What does matter is we know who our Savior is. What does matter is we know who the kingdom, where the kingdom lies. What does matter is taking the truth of Jesus and the good news of the gospel to a world that is thirsting and hungry. That's what matters. Let's not get up into division. Let's come together in unity. And so, again, we look at the fact that we are united with Christ, Christ in us, Holy Spirit in us, the Father in us, the kingdom in us. And what is the kingdom like? Well, it says, if you don't know what the kingdom's like, you get to ask Holy Spirit because he's going to reveal it to you. And I'm just going to encourage you in this. When you get a hold of the Spirit, Father, that's not what I meant. When you get a hold of the word that the Spirit is leading you in, sometimes it's just the word, it's just information. But pray, Lord, I need some revelation. I don't want to just read the word and get information. I want revelation. Lord, I want revelation of what it means that the kingdom is in me. What does that mean, Lord? How does that play out in my life? What does that look like? I want revelation. I'm sorry, I can't remember. I was reading a few books, so I can't remember exactly who said this, but when we just get information, we're still in darkness. But when we get a revelation, that's where the light is. Oh, arise and shine, people. Your light has come. Okay. I want to read to you, okay, we're going to go to some scriptures here. I'm going to continue on. This is Matthew 11:12. It says, For the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has suffered violent assault, and violent men seize it by force. And the Amplified says, as a precious prize. This is how the Passion Translation puts it. From the moment John stepped on the scene until now, the realm of heaven's kingdom is bursting forth, and passionate people have taken hold of its power. And I'm just going to read from the footnotes of the Passion Translation about that verse. It says, the kingdom of heaven is entered into by force. The violent ones take hold of it. This is one of the most difficult passages in Matthew to translate from Greek. When the Greek words are translated into Hebrew, it becomes a clear reference to Micah 2, 12 to 13, and includes the breaking forth. This morning, I'm going to say, remember that. To me, I'm looking at that little vial of anointing oil that broke forth. Something is breaking forth for us, folks. And are you willing to let that happen? Are you willing to break forth and let the kingdom? When your mind says, oh my goodness, Lord, this just seems like foolishness to me, are you willing to still stand and say, nope, the kingdom of God is different than the way the world does things? Again, I've been asking the Lord, just open my eyes. And we sang it, how great thou art. That is I'm going to be honest, for me, it's a prophetic. And I say this, when we sit and we look at what God's handiwork in creation, doesn't it stir your heart? Doesn't it speak to you of the goodness of God and the amazingness of God? And so the other morning, the other night, have you ever had the spin cycle going in your head? When I was a kid, our mom had an old washing machine. And you'd lift up the lid and it was supposed to stop right away, but the little switch didn't work. So that thing would be spinning until it eventually slowed down. And that was, so you know what I mean by getting caught in the spin cycle. And sometimes what's going around and around and around in your head, and you're dealing in and your emotions get all caught up into it. And I just said, enough. Lord, I need you to just, I think like what Crystal said, I just need to see something good. I just need to see something different. Lord, just show me something. Well, the next morning I got up and I was making coffee and getting ready to come into the office. And I looked out my kitchen window, and I will show you a picture one day. I didn't think to do it today. There is these two big bucks laying out in my yard because they knew the hunters were not going to be there. Big, beautiful racks. Just cozy as all could be out in my backyard there, just laying there. Just enjoying, and I was just like, oh, isn't that, look at the deer are back. And then the Lord just reminded me of I'd asked. And so I just said, well, what's this about? Well, first of all, I don't know enough about deers, but I don't think two big deers lay down together all the time. Big bucks, I don't think that's a normal thing. And so, of course, immediately when I'm looking to the Lord, and he reminds me of some symbols and things that, you know, there's the scripture, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. And the fact that a deer is very nimble-footed, sure-footed, when they climb up to high places. And again, I say that the kingdom of God is right before us and within us, and there to speak to us, and the Lord wants to talk to you and encourage you in these things. Even, you know what? The deer might not mean anything to you, except, boy, that would have been some good venison. And that's okay. But for me, it really spoke to me at a time when I needed to hear and see God's double portion before me. Now, I'm going to be honest, we have more than the double portion. You know, I've heard people pray for the double portion, but somebody said, why would you limit it to that when you have the whole kingdom? Praise God. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent men seize it by force as a precious gift. Passionate people take a hold of its power. This is not a sit back and maybe God will do something. This is a get up and seize it. It's yours. I want you to think back to when Jesus was ministering to people and how often the crowds were pushing in on him. He had to get in boats and push out from shore as they pushed in. He was in a crowd when the woman with the issue of blood was touched the hem of his garment. And he said, "Who touched me?" And his disciples said, "What? Are you kidding?" The crowd was pressing in, you know. But how many times do you read about the crowds of people that are around Jesus? Why? Why were they around him? Because he was sharing the good news of the kingdom of God. They wanted what he was sharing, what he was giving. And they didn't have the understanding that we have, that we've been given. Passionate people have taken hold of its power. Now, I want to take you, I think this is our next verse here, to Luke 4, verses 1 to 14. And if you have that in your Bible, you can turn to it. If you just want me to read it to you because you forgot your Bible, that's okay. This is about the temptation of Jesus, and I'm going to jump around in it a bit. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." This is just after he's been baptized. And we know that the devil comes to tempt him while he's fasting and praying out there. And Jesus' response to him every time is, "It is written, men shall not live by bread alone. It is written, the Lord, worship the Lord God and serve him only. It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." But there's one here that I want us to take a close look at, and that's verses 5 through 7. It says, "The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world." Now let's just think about that one for a minute. In an instant, the devil showed him all the kingdoms of the world from the beginning of time to the end of time. So something supernatural has happened. He's seeing something. He's seeing something in the spirit. And the reason I want to draw our attention to that is that, well, you'll see in just a minute. "And he said to him," this is the devil said to him, "I'll give you all authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." And then Jesus responded, "It is written, worship the Lord God, your God, and serve him only." Keep your focus on him. See the visions the Lord has given you. You see, what is interesting about what Satan has done here, he's kind of set himself up over king over all the world. Prince of the air, he's called. And he comes in claiming his rights as a king from anyone who will serve him in his kingdom and his systems. When we look at the temptation of Jesus and him saying, "I'll give you all of this," it really wasn't his to give. He really doesn't have the power and the authority. What he's looking for is us to come into agreement with him, and then we give him. And he manipulates us and uses us to build his kingdom. And that's why it's important for us to passionately, violently take a hold of the word of God and the kingdom of God. And I'm going to sit here and say, if you're not a reader, if you don't like to read, get yourself the Bible on CD or on your phone or whatever, and whatever you're doing during the day, put it on and just let it play. Hear the word of God. And I say that not to say, well, you know, that's just being lazy, you should read. I was a non-reader way back when. I had a hard time reading, and I couldn't get anywhere. I remember when my mom got the whole Bible on cassette tape. What a joy. Except it was King James. That's a bit of a problem for me because I don't think that way. But that's okay. But what I'm saying is there are ways. We live in a day and an age and a time where, my goodness, there is no excuse. There's no excuse. Get worship songs going. You know, have them playing as you go to sleep. I think that's Jamie and Ralph's thing. Play it as you go to sleep. Let your mind be full of the Word of God as you go to sleep. Do you know the Lord says He teaches us in our sleep? You're being taught when you're lying in bed. You have no clue. He speaks to us through dreams and visions. You wake up some morning and you have a dream and you're sitting there going, oh, man, that was a weird dream. Write it down. Talk to the Lord about it. He's got something to share with you. It could be in the pizza, but I think we discern in our spirit. Jesus refused to come in agreement with the devil. He used the word to dispute him. Can you imagine what would have happened if Jesus had come into agreement with him? He would have given all his power and authority over to him. Now, he was here as the Son of Man as well as the Son of God. But you're a son of God now too. You're a daughter of God now too, right? That's right. Full of the kingdom. I can imagine, you know, for Jesus that it certainly wasn't pleasant to be assaulted by the enemy. I'm sure it was frustrating. But he knew who he was. And he knew the power of the truth of God. And he was able to resist the devil, and the devil fled. It says it fled him for a time. Now, we look at that and we say, Lord, what was the purpose? Was it just so in Scripture we could see Jesus do this? Or was there something for Jesus in this? Because remember, Jesus was a son of man, tempted like us in all ways. Well, look what happened after he was dealing with all these frustrating things. Verse 14 and 15, it says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. He went out full of the Holy Spirit, but he came out in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And news of him went out throughout the surrounding areas, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Are you frustrated about the stuff that's going on in your life? Going on around you? Are you sitting in frustration? I want to encourage you this morning. Get out the word. Let the kingdom flow out of you. Stand in that frustration, because when you come out the other side of what you might be dealing with, you're going to come out in the power of the Spirit. Not just full, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. And brothers and sisters, the harvest field is ripe. The fields are ripe unto the harvest, it says. And Romans 8:19, it says, for all of creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Are we still sitting on the sidelines? Are we still being the wallflower at the dance? Come on, let's get up. Let's get going. All creation groans like in childbirth, waiting for us, those that have got the inheritance in Christ, to be made manifest here in the earth. Don't let the enemy, don't let the systems of this world draw you into giving over your inheritance. Passionately, violently, go in and seize what's yours. The realm of heaven's kingdom is bursting forth, and passionate people take hold of it by power. Don't leave here today and just let the week be what it was last week. Amen? That vial broke open this morning as a sign and a wonder to us, or a sign to us, not a wonder, I'll go say. He's about to break forth in us, if we'll let. He's always been willing, but there are times and seasons, and this season, I'm telling you. Why don't you stand and we'll pray? Yes. All right. Father, we don't want to leave this place doing what we've always done. Lord, we want to go enlightened with revelation of who we are. Holy Spirit, I just pray for each person here this week that they will start seeing you're speaking to them, those little prophetic things, those little voice of God, and everything, everywhere, and it'll just encourage them and rejoice. Father, I pray for visions, and I pray for dreams, and Father, I pray that out of them will flow rivers of living water, because that's what you have said, and the earth and those around us shall be watered with the goodness of the kingdom of God. We thank you, Jesus, you came preaching the kingdom of God, the good news. And so, Father, again, we give you the glory. Jesus, we honor you as our Savior and our Lamb, the one who has brought us into the kingdom. And Holy Spirit, we rejoice because you, you dwell in us and make revelation knowledge to us about our inheritance. So we go from this place rejoicing. We go into the harvest field, and we're going to bring in the sheaves. Amen.